Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of The Bros Think Big. Today we're going to be talking about an interesting conversation that has to do with some of the temptations that us Christians may face in today's world and how we combat them through the Word of God and the understanding of the Holy Spirit leading us. So, but you want to go over some of the stuff that we wrote down so far and just kind of break down how each one has tempted us in our lives and can be a temptation in many different ways and combat that?
Yeah, I got you. Yeah, so one thing I see is that there's a lot of, when we talk to Christians or we talk to people who claim they are Christian, there are still things in like their lives that they keep in there that leads them towards sin. Yeah. And even things in my life that I'm probably still holding on to that I don't know it's leading towards sin. Would that be, oh yeah, like I don't mind scrolling on my phone, something like that, which is something that could lead you towards many sins, right? It's a gateway. There's a lot of things out there that are gateways towards being sins, whether that be your environment, whether that be your bad habits, whether that be people around you.
It's bad energy in general, and then it creates a bad energy within you, and you are more capable of susceptible to the negative energy than the positive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so the seven deadly sins are lust, greed, slothfulness, pride, wrath, envy, and gluttony. And a main one for guys is lust, right? What are guys doing that leads them towards that every single day? Social media. It's the easiest place for guys to get just absolutely just trapped in there. You scroll because these algorithms, they put anything up on there that will make you emotionally unstable and get you to kind of cave in. So it will literally put things out there that you'll see. And like, what's that one? I don't know the exact verse in the Bible, but it talks about how those people are thirsty and they're trying to relinquish this thirst with things like externally outside of God. But the more that they try to drink that, aka water, the more thirsty they become.
I think it's one of the songs.
It has to do with the lady at the well, when Jesus met that lady at the well.
Yeah.
And when he was like, I have a water, like a flowing river or something like that, that people will thirst no more.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
he meant the
spirit, right?
Yeah, exactly. What he's saying is that like, I am what you really need to fill that void that you're trying to fill.
Yeah.
Because whatever you're doing clearly isn't working, right?
Yo, but what if he meant actual water?
I'll leave that up to the people to read and interpret.
When he touched that water and turned into wine, that was the wine.
Is that literally or symbolically?
Literally.
Right? That one was literal. The wine was.
But dude, yeah, I'm glad you said that about the gateways, different gateways, and not just within the social media. But one thing that I've been noticing ever since we had that conversation, well, the pastor mentioned is, you know, how people dress and stuff nowadays, and girls too.
Yeah.
Especially that because, you know, we can say biologically that and the understanding of mentality of a man is lust after a woman. It's just what's going on around us the most. And it's one of the very easiest ways as a man to be tempted.
Sinful nature.
Yeah, exactly. Like the big, right. Sinful. But I just think that it's more into men than women. You know what I mean? Like the fleshly desire of a man to a woman is more than a woman. Men, in my opinion, right?
And yeah, I think it might feel like that, but I feel like women don't speak up about it enough because it's more shameful for women to be that person who's like craving versus a man.
Because you would be surprised, biologically, they're not wired to be attracted to men physically as much as they are attracted to a man.
Well, a man's attracted to a woman.
Right, who's competent and, you know, who is well-spoken, well-dressed, even these type of stuff, like status, more attracted to status. That's the thing. Than fleshly does because that's kind of what you see in.
But then you could say they are now sexually attracted to men that is capable of, you know, achieving a success. So it's just not a physical attraction at first point, but it still leads to that sexual attraction that
eventually
because they're already attracted to his status, for example.
Yeah, exactly.
Which leads then to being sexually attracted to them.
Right. Yeah, of course. And the point that I was trying to bring up is you walk out and at least once you will see somebody, some girl who's just dressed in a way where if you're not even looking there, your preference will still see that body part. And because the clothes they wear is just so tight to their body that you just see it.
You just can't unsee it.
Right. You can't just kind of unsee it. And I feel like even those little things, it's how our mind works is, it gets like this information and this visual stuff gets, you know, put into our subconscious. And at some point you might not even be thinking about it. You might not be wanting to think about, but that image comes up in your head and then the other temptations come in. know, let me just go on this website, or let me just go on look at like other women on social media, these type of stuff. And now the matter is whether you give in that temptation or not, and how do you combat that temptation? But the idea is it's still there. It's still there for you to fight it. One of the interesting things that I brought up, actually, I don't know if it was on the podcast, but blind, like imagine blind people, right? People that never saw in their life. They don't have a visual, you know, idea or like visual understanding on what that they can be tempted with, right?
Like when sexual body part?
Yeah. Like for example, that, not just that, but like in general, they don't even have any understanding on what anybody looks like, that like the differences in people in terms of, you know, their facial structure or, you know, I don't know. There's nothing really. I don't know. How can
I
they
think,
have it?
I think, oh, yeah. Look, I might be wrong, but I think they have an understanding of what a human looks like and stuff.
No,
you're saying like
that.
Details, right?
No, I'm saying like the detailed stuff and something to think
about. Okay. I thought you meant like they can't even like.
Oh, no. They can comprehend what somebody may look like because you can draw an image by just speaking to them with words. But
I just made sure you weren't going there. That's all.
It's right. It's just less of a temptation for them. Yeah. Just something that I thought about, which was interesting.
Yeah, I even came across a video, now that you're saying that, coming across a video, somebody talking about a similar thing like that.
What happened? Oh, did it die?
Almost. So good.
Yeah, I think...
Yeah, go ahead.
Right. Okay, continue.
I didn't want to go off the tangent, but you guys like understand what I'm trying to say. It's so 100%. Obvious.
But I would say to that too, because it's about being modest, right? About dressing modestly.
Yeah.
I would say it's almost like the same thing for how guys, they kind of, it's easy for, oh yeah, a guy's taking a shirt off or something like that. Or guys post the same way on social media, like girls do in a sense. Like they're, guys will show their abs, their body, which it's not like, we look at that as guys, it's like, oh, it's like not as bad.
Yeah.
Because it's normal.
Right.
Right. But what is normal? Right. Because a guy who posts a picture of his body, right, can easily influence a woman to lead to sin.
Exactly.
Same way a girl can post and lead a guy to sin, stuff like that. So
that's why I think it matters doing stuff like that when it's the right times. Like, for example, if I'm in the gym and
it's an intention,
Yeah, so exactly. So well, if I'm in the gym, or like, let's just say we're out playing soccer, right, and it's really hot and I take my shirt off. Yeah, I'm taking my shirt off because it's hot. And like,
there's a reason, right?
There's a reason why you're doing it. But look, if I'm going out and I'm just like, I see these beautiful girls and I just take off my shirt to lead them to be sexually attracted to me because that's the only thing I can offer. Of course, then it's the intention that behind that everything you do. Like if a girl, for example, is working out and they're wearing shorts, like pretty short, but they're working out and that's why they're wearing it. That's not their fault leading me into sin. That's my problem. I shouldn't be looking at them in a sexual way. They're working out, bro.
Yeah. Like, come then on. How should they be dressed when they work out is the question.
But
look,
here's the thing. But if they wear that specific thing for them to then attract, because it's the heart. It matters why you're doing what you're doing, right?
Yeah.
Like I can't be like, oh, like girls shouldn't be wearing short shorts in the gym. Because look, I like wearing a shirt that's tight so I can see my muscles when I work out. And you feel good when you see that you're improving and you look good and you have big muscles, right? But does that mean that my intention should never be that just because some person that's, too harshly say, messed up in their mind and takes everything sexually, now I can't do that? So the problem isn't always about that, but it is. But it's
just
not always about
consider.
That. Yeah, it's intention. Why you're doing what you're doing. Why, is that girl going to the gym to attract men sexually by wearing that shorts? Or they're just like feeling comfortable working out with them. You know what I mean?
Well, the message.
But it depends how far they go with the clothing too. You can't wear it super tight either and then like expect nothing to play out or something like that, right?
The only thing is, and this is something that I've been kind of battling with myself too, is the understanding. Okay, when you become a Christian, your old self dies and you're born again, right?
Yeah.
You are a new self and now you have a different responsibility on how you lead people towards God. Right? So as a Christian, you are supposed to think about some of the things that you otherwise wouldn't if you were not Christian. Meaning, you know, when there's a verse, Jesus Christ saying it is better for a man to be tied with a brimstone on his neck, you know, cast it in the sea than to lead another man into sin.
Yeah.
What he's trying to say is that you have a way more responsibility now as a Christian than to feel good that you see your muscles in the mirror, that you feel comfortable, you know, dressing the way you do, and these type of stuff. And to be honest, I still to this day, you know, wear tank tops and stuff when I work out, stringers, all these stuff. However, it's just something to think about and something to consider within the context of where you are. I'll be honest, I think once you leave the gym, you should consider more dressing, you know, properly when you are, you know, going out into public places. I don't know. It might be too harsh to understand at first,
I think it's always the intention, you know, like,
I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it is a,
you personally don't even wear, you know, wife beaters or stringers, nothing.
Yeah,
you always
no.
wear like these type of clothes.
Yeah. Cause I mean, I take off my stuff at the end and stuff like that just to see. But, I think one thing is like social media, where like you can, I post my physique sometimes and stuff. I think it is like the intention. Yeah. But it's also my responsibility to not like, not attract people just to my physique, right? It's not about like just that. It's about character
as
well. Like who you are and your character as well. So it's like, I think what you're saying is like, yeah, like you go to the gym, you do this to like kind of feel good and stuff like that. I don't think that's necessarily wrong, but it can be a little bit prideful in a sense and like almost because it's like, I want to look good and stuff like that. And it's like, do you really? I don't know. I think it's a balance between a little. There's a little bit of a balance.
You want to look good, but you want to look at yourself how good you look.
Yeah.
It can be prideful, but at the same time, my point was different. My point was that, you know, anything that I do that my intention isn't can be taken as a intention of somebody else. They can intentionally
pervert it.
What's it called?
Pervert it, right?
Pervert it, even though I'm not trying to do that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, like, for example, I'm at the beach.
Right.
What am I? Should I go in the water as close? But there could be somebody, even a gay guy, looking at me and sexually sitting there. I mean, like, kind of leading their own selves to sin, not because of me, but because of their own perverted mind.
Dude, the same thing.
So, what do we do in that case?
You don't limit yourself to that extreme. However, what I was trying to say with what you brought up, I completely understand what you're saying. But
you
got to
try.
It down
of course, I agree.
As Christians, we need to take responsibility on not just how we feel, how we look, and how messed up somebody might be, and be like, oh, it's their problem. No, we want to make sure that what we do represents,
and it's also
Christ
our problem
in a
because
very,
they're
right.
like our
exactly.
brothers in Christ.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, so we don't want to lead them to sin,
right? And not everybody's
it's,
brother in Christ.
It's the same thing with the people
that we might lead them to sin,
right?
Dude, it's the same thing with the people about socks, right? The people who comment on our channel about the socks, and they don't watch our channel anymore. I can tell because they don't comment anymore.
Thank God.
Right? Thank God for that. I mean, they could still watch, right? But it's the whole thing with the socks. It's like some people are like have this like weird fetish for like socks and feet. It's like, dude, I'm just trying to walk outside with my shoes on, or I'm trying to walk in the park without my socks on. It's just like, I'm not trying to sexually like attract someone with my feet. It's like,
but they, you see, but the world,
but they can pervert it.
So what they're trying to do is sometimes they're trying to make you look bad, even though you're not doing anything wrong. You know what I'm saying? So like, I could be sitting at a restaurant and I could be just enjoying myself, and somebody can come up to you and tell you something because they don't feel secure about it. I don't know. And make you look like a problem, even though they are the problem. They're trying to shift all this blame on the people that their intention isn't that specific thing.
Yeah.
And now they want to make those guys look bad instead of actually look in within themselves and say,
why
am I getting attracted? Like,
self-accountability.
Why am I getting attracted to this thing sexually? Like when I'm in the gym and I would look at a girl and they're wearing short shorts, I'm not going to be like, her butt's like so fat and stuff. I'm not going to do that because I understand that she's there to work out. And she's wearing that for that reason. Just the same way I'm wearing this like tight shirt because I'm working out and it's comfortable. That's what it's made for, at least. You know what I mean? But at the same time, if I'm going out and still wearing this shirt outside of that just to show off, then of course, then I'm leading another man or another woman into sin. Of course.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like, it's complicated. But at the same time, it's like you shouldn't limit yourself to that extreme either. When it comes to gym, when it comes to sports, right? If I'm in the sport and that's the uniform that I'm supposed to wear, and now people can, sexualize that?
Yeah.
That's not my problem.
That can also be a motivating factor that, look at this guy. He's checked. he must have put in the work. What can I do to also get there? Like, yeah. You know, there's been people who come up to us in the gym and say, yo, how do you look this good? And then the conversation goes with, you know, your discipline, your meal plans, your workout routine, whatever it might be, the amount of time you've been training. And that gives them motivation, like an actual push for them to also say, if this guy did it, so can I, and let me just learn something from him that I can apply to my life. That is that double-edged sword that somebody can take as a good thing as well as the bad. But that's why our hearts have to be in the right place. Our hearts has to be in the right place. That way, when somebody, let's say, comes up and, you know, tries to make you feel guilty about it, you don't feel guilty because you know that your intention there wasn't wrong. That person definitely misunderstood that because of their own, you know, perverted thinking or their own misunderstanding of your intention with yeah. that with the type of clothing.
So then I guess you can, another way of doing it is then you just, I guess, if you have the chance to, you can just talk to them about it. Say, why do you think you are, like, I guess, why are you letting your mind attract those things when you are here to work out? Why? Right? Look,
what's your focus, right?
Yeah, like, why are you in the gym? Coming in the gym to work out for your own benefit, for your healthy benefits, and now you're just distracting your mind to other things and kind of shifting the blame, being like, oh, why is that girl wearing this? Oh, that girl looks like a slut.
Dude, yeah.
Like, ask yourself. Right.
Remember it literally in Genesis, when Adam and Eve ate the apple of knowledge, they saw each other. They were, oh my gosh, we're naked.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, like, they have that... I think that's how, like, sin got, it's exactly what sin got brought into the picture, where these two are now, they have awareness now of, like, what's technically bad by according to, like, the knowledge they gained and stuff.
Well,
and so,
nakedness is in the Genesis part 2, like, it talks about a lot.
But
nakedness,
they were so the perfect.
Represents sin. So yeah,
you know how I'm seeing it? Mm-hmm. They were so perfect that their body parts wasn't leading them into thinking, like, sexually. But because they sinned, and because now they were, like, I guess, awareness, now their hearts turned into these things as taking it sexually and maybe taking it in a bad way type of thing. That's how I see it.
Is that my phone?
It's very deep. It's very deep.
Silence it, bro.
Yeah. Dude, I think there's two sins that I don't think are talked about enough.
Yeah.
I think it's wrath and gluttony. So no one really talks about wrath enough. Like, what is that? It's, how I look at that is like...
Hatred, anger?
It's revenge, it's hatred, it's anger. And then most of the time, this is brought up through social media. Other people are wanting to cause revenge or hate towards other people because of some other drama. It's easy to... Or people start...
Trends?
People think it's okay to want revenge on people. People think it's okay. Oh, I need to get back at this person, right?
Yeah.
I think that...
Respond to this person, reply to them. Because they just made a comment on my video. I can't just let that be, right?
Dude, if you look at Instagram comment sections, it's a free-for-all in there, dude. Everyone's trying to, like, ego each other and just, like, get back at each other.
Who's going to write a better comment?
Yeah, who's going to get the last word out? Oh, yeah, he hasn't responded yet. He's lost.
Yeah, I beat him with stuff.
So I think there's a lot of hate.
Those two definitely are not talked about enough.
Hate and anger, like, where it's so easy for me to go on social media. If I start scrolling for a little bit, all of a sudden I'm in, like, 10 people's dramas, and, like, I have, like, this, like, weird opinion and anger towards someone, like, something. It's like, who cares? It has nothing to do with me at all. And
yeah,
I think it's where, like, wrath swirls up, and that you can easily become sensitive in your own life and project that on other people.
Yeah, I'm gonna talk about myself on that, because I still have that. I get very angry with things, and the reason why I want to focus on that is because, you know, when people, because I've heard a lot of people say, like, when you're, they say, like, they think that wrath is just, like, something when you only physically, what's it called, do with someone, like, when you beat them up or when you kill them or things like that, right? But now we also have to think more, like, let's just go deeper than that, right? Okay, let's just say wrath is, you know physically hurting someone, right? But let's think about it. Before it leads to that, there's a starting point with that, right? So one is, first it's a thought. Then you're giving yourself...
And what is the Bible verse, do you know? The Gospels. Jesus said it.
No.
If you have looked at your brother with anger, or if you have anger towards your brother, you have already killed him with your heart.
Yeah, exactly. So that's exactly what I want to get to, because essentially you first get mad And because you're not able to control that wrath and you think it's fine to be mad at someone, unfortunately, that can, because of the sinful nature that we humans have, that can then lead to you physically hurting somebody, which if you just learned to count that also, that wrath, the anger inside your mind and heart as a sin, then you would think, yo, look, I'm sinning right now, so let me stop.
Yeah.
So then it doesn't lead to another sin. Then another sin that then leads to maybe some other people involving.
Yeah.
So because you started that thought in your head and you almost like played it as like, look, I can't get mad long as I don't hurt someone. But that hurtness in your heart can then lead to it transferring to physical. Like yeah. I've had that in sports where like when we play soccer and I have that anger that I missed a shot or something, now I want to go and slide tackle somebody. But I tell myself, like, you can't. Like,
yeah.
Look, it's just an instinct thing that you kind of you're getting to. And I'm
really it happens a lot
trying
in sports,
to fix that
the
within
easiest,
myself. It's very.
I think what can drive people to wrath is competitiveness sometimes to a certain extent. Like, I think being competing with people is great. But there can be, like, you guys probably know this better than I do, like, where you almost get, like, angry or, like, take an offense to someone, like, when you're trying to beat them or, like, they are like, getting the edge over you or something like that.
Yeah. Or is they're getting under your skin and stuff?
You know, talking bad about you during the game or
but
something
But I have to
like
tell
that.
Myself constantly, look, you're sinning right now because you, like, that verse that you said, like, I might not understand it fully and I don't think probably, like, we won't really understand that fully and grasp it. Like, how can I actually kill someone when I have just a thought? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What if that thought is coming from evil? But you have to think about it. It's still you almost like letting it be in your head and not counting it as a bigger thing when it is already a big thing. Because guess what? It's first, you first like almost when it comes to that type of stuff, like killing, beating somebody up or cursing them out. It's first in your head. You have to, you're thinking about this. Do I say, do I not? You have to be able to do that. And if you can't control that, I'm sorry, but you've already started
the process. It's loading into
like it's a temptation.
Becoming.
It's a temptation that comes, but you just tell yourself, like you have to tell within yourself, like this is also a sin, just as much as me hurting someone physically. Even though in our eyes it's like one's less sin of than the other, but then guess what? This small sin that we call small, then leads to a bigger sin. So that also makes a sin.
Yeah, and I think Jesus was also underlining in that specific verse. The perfection of God and his holiness and his understanding. Every time he would go back to things that were 10 commandments, that 10 commandments are simply the definition of God's perfection and those laws being played into our everyday life that we break every day. That means every single day we need to have a clear understanding that those laws that are perfect, we are breaking that perfectness because we're not perfect before God. God is the most perfect every single day before us. And we are imperfect by breaking every single one of them. That's why every day we need to acknowledge that we need Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Right? And we need to ask for forgiveness and ask for his mercy. And I think definitely underlining that when he mentions to people about, you know, even if you have looked at a woman with lust, you have already committed adultery with her in your heart. So he's trying to say that this is God's perfection, and this is where you're at. And imagine how many times you have those thoughts. How many times you want to actually engage in such thing. How many times you engage in it, like physically do it. You know what I mean? Maybe we don't, but people do, right?
One thing I just want to put out there, like before you make another point, is I think it's important that not only we ask for forgiveness, but we also ask for God to like help us, strengthen us through that. Because I feel like if we just ask for forgiveness, he can forgive you unlimitedly. That's how much he loves you.
Yeah.
But you have to be willing to also change, because if you don't change, his forgiveness can't just be like, yeah, I'll just throw it at you, because it's not just, you know what I mean? You also have to kind of follow up with that actions. Like if you're willing to change your heart, you're going to have to repent less if you think about it, right? Because like if I actually ask God for him to, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to change my heart and I don't have that wrath anymore, then if you think about it, then it leads you to less sin almost. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
then
you're walking in a more righteous path.
And, you know, you need to also kind of...
And that is the true repentance too, is your willingness to change, because the understanding what Jesus did on the cross for us, it has to mean so much to you and to your heart that he went through so much pain for us that we can't just take that lightly and say, yeah, he already forgave me and he died because he's God. Like, no, he actually felt every single one of, you know, the whips, every single stab, every single pain,
betrayal, emotional. Like, think
yeah,
of, like
every single one.
No physical pain. I've experienced that. No one can physically hurt you as much as like
spiritual and mental.
Like, spiritual and yeah. like when somebody breaks your heart.
Yeah,
like, it doesn't
tough.
Have to be just on a relationship. It can be with your friend. Like, you're doing something good, but they just see it as you. I guess they don't see the intention behind it when yeah. you're trying to help yeah, yeah. somebody out or you're trying to like.
And even, it was all of it together with him.
Right. All everything.
Before the cross too.
Physical, then betrayal. Those people, like, think about it. People that you that are your followers, they deny you. Like, imagine how much that hurts you.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you.
The only ones it, but, that were with you, the only ones that understand.
Imagine what
you.
Others are gonna do to you. You know what yeah. I mean? So you have to kind of put that in the perspective. It's
yeah, right.
Crazy.
There's a proverb. In one of the Proverbs 14:29 says, whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly. So how I imagine that, because awesome. Here's the thing, like, you're allowed to feel anger. You're allowed to feel it, but you're not allowed to almost
give into it.
Yeah, you're not allowed to give into it. There's another verse that says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's it's like, you're allowed to like feel like, just like almost like with the lust thing, it's like, yeah, you're going to have these lustful thoughts, but it's like what you do with it. Like, do you kind of gravitate towards it? Do you all of a sudden attach it to your identity?
Or do you kill it?
Like, are you angry or do you feel angry? Oh, I just feel angry. Okay. What can you do about it? What can you do moving forward? Right. I can forgive them. I can ask God to help me forgive. I can pray. I can transmute this out somewhere else.
And that's the thing with prayers is, when you acknowledge that you feel angry and it's taking you in a direction where now you're, you know, thinking about, okay, what can I do with this anger to get back at this person or the revenge or to say something that will, you know, hurt them one way or another or say something that will be, my word will be the last word. You know, that is obviously giving into that temptation. But when you stop to pray for that, that means you acknowledge that you need God to intervene with that situation, that your heart is going through something that is, you know, not so much under your control, but your anger is already slowly taking over and you need his mercy and you need his forgiveness and you need his love to guide you in a different direction. Mm-hmm. That is you repenting right then and there with that prayer because you're acknowledging that this is a bad thing and you need to turn away from it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think another one that we can get to, like I said, is the gluttony one. Because I feel people don't have a good understanding
like
on it.
Eat.
So when I used to watch like certain anime shows or read certain fiction stories, the seven deadly sins would get brought up a lot. Like, as in they would be depicted as characters or just like actions or like whatever it was.
Finland
Most
Saga.
Of the time, yeah, like gluttony. So like in this one show called Full Metal Alchemist, there's the seven deadly sins in there who are actual people.
Okay.
And the one who's gluttony, he's signified as a person who's like really fat and big, but also he has like this endless pit of hunger. It's like endless, bottomless pit of hunger.
That's so interesting because in the movies or something, when you see like, you know, the beasts, like the guys that are like fat and stuff, like they are the ones that like they release them to people to like eat them and stuff. It's actually very interesting that you say that because they're fat.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
They're represented as like gluttony, right?
This isn't even just food. Like when I think of gluttony, I think of a fat person eating so much food even when they're stuffed. That's how I imagine it. But it goes deeper than that. This goes down to
psychological.
This goes down to drugs and alcohol, overindulgence of social media, overindulgence in just any single substance that has control over you. It's this bottomless pit that you're just indulging in constantly, like nicotine, right? Up a thing about the whole nicotine, smoking weed is a thing. So whatever you kind of cope with, it's just an endless indulgence of it.
Yeah, because one of my friend, he's quitting Zyn right now, and he mentioned this to me yesterday. He said so he would take. There's like levels to it on the intensity of nicotine, and he's trying to slowly go down. He started from 9, from 6, and he was at 3 at some point. And he was taking only 3 of them a day. So that would be 9 grams.
Is crazy.
9 grams.
Yeah.
Right. So a day. And it's like not as bad as compared to taking, let's say,
you know there's 50?
Level 6, so to speak.
You know, in Europe, there's 50 people do that. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, 50.
Max crazy. Here in America is 12 and people in Europe, they take 50. Just imagine how strong
imagine
it
how,
is.
How much it buzzes you out. Anyway, long story short. He said he went back to he can like went up to the level 6, and when I asked him why, he goes, well, I've been stressed and stuff. And one of the things that, you know, I mentioned to him, and sometimes people don't always want to hear it, is it's like you have to choose what you turn to when you feel stressed, right? Personally, me, when I feel stressed, the one thing that first comes to mind is praying to God. That's my first initial reaction. When I see something's wrong and something's not going right, is I turn to God right away. The prayer is first. And then with the prayer comes clarity. With the prayer comes the understanding that, okay, God shows me, okay, you know, these are some of the things that you have in your life that you should be grateful for. These are some of the things that in your life you can use as a good resource to help you. These are like good friends you have around you that you can talk to. Go to the Bible, read some of the verses, like search up something that will help you to get through these stressful moments. So it's just like there's so many pathways that open up when you pray and ask God for the right direction, because he only gives you the right direction towards overcoming something that is as difficult as addictions like this and stressful moments.
People don't want that.
Right. Yeah. And the easy one is to take more of that substance because it buzzes you out at the moment. Of course, what he's just going to go to Wawa or drive somewhere and get a higher dosage of that specific thing because he's going to feel buzzed out even more. Then he doesn't understand that all that progress that he has done kind of going to waste by just going up, because guess what? After 6, what you're doing is, and with the dopamine thing too, right? Like when the dopamine goes below the midline, you're going to want more because the spike is going to go up, and then your baseline is going to drop down and down and down to the point where now you want more and more dopamine to feel the same emotion as you felt on when you started, mm-hmm. right? And it's, people need to have that understanding on how our bodies work with dopamine, and just a basic understanding at least that it's not just how do you feel, but your body's actually a mechanism that is designed in a way where it's going to ask you for more and more. It's a machine.
Yeah, exactly.
People just need to start looking at little things as big things too. You know, they can't just look at little things.
Look at a little deeper. Just like think for themselves.
Just look at those little things, and also like don't just like minimize them as like something super small, because that super small thing can lead to a bigger thing and a huge thing.
Yeah.
People don't like to do that. They just like to put it on the face value and say, this is small and this is big.
Yeah, I think when it comes to praying too, and like when you ask Jesus for things, you have to just take action. Like you can't just sit there. He's not a magic genie. He's not like, God, can I really want to get a better job. Like he's literally like, okay, go apply in applications then, right?
And he will give you opportunities
like,
too.
Boom, there you go. There's a job.
He can, but why would he, right? Like, why would he trying to help you? Yeah, is he really helping you?
If he really wants to help you, then you'll take that action. Just like, for example, if it's like, okay, you want to face your fear in something, he says, jump off this cliff then. He's like, no, why would I jump off the cliff? Like, I'm afraid. Exactly.
Yeah.
If you jump off the cliff, I will save you, right? Or then like things will.
And for example, if that was the case,
yeah, that's just a kind of like right. a weird example.
Like overcoming the fear of something that is as frightful as, okay, I'm fearful of heights per se. Like what one of the ways I guess you can combat that is, you know, go skydive. That's probably too extreme, but
or for example,
face it somehow.
For example, like you say, like you're lost, you don't like know what your goals are, you don't know what to do, and you're like, Jesus, like I don't know where to go, right? I'm so lost. And he's like, okay, take the first step and I will guide you. He's like, no, I need to know where I want to go. It's like, take the first step.
Yeah.
Take the first step. Take a few steps and I'll show you. Right. Each path will light another path for you.
Yeah.
Each step foot will light out another.
Yeah. You know what's so interesting about that is when God tells us to do something like that, and this is like within the biblical context too, like we would have so many prophets, even Abraham, Moses, he led them to places where they had no idea where they were going. He pretty much told them. And why were they going? They didn't know how things were going to turn out. But they said, okay, God, you said it. I know who you are. I know what you've done. And I know what you will do. I have faith what you will do. And then they take these steps. And then obviously not only the pathways open up and their understanding on God's character and who he is and why he does things the way he does, but also because they see where they're going. Steps. And this is how God helps us do that. It's because it's good to go back to how, like I said, the mechanism of your mind and how your body works in general, right? It's the self-confidence. If God tells me to take the first step and I just say, God, show me where I'm going before I take that first step, I am diminishing my self-confidence. What he's helping us do is build self-confidence. Right. So when I take the first step, now I'm learning to trust myself as well, that I'm capable of taking steps. I can walk. I can run. I am capable of overcoming some of the fears that I thought I couldn't overcome because God asked me to take a step. Because he's there with me, right? He's that faithful God who is with me when I take these steps. When I take one step, he shows me, look, you can do it.
Now another one.
Right, another one. And now you're going to learn to walk. You're going to learn to run. Because all you did is trusted me. And then the picture will open up into, okay, what can I do now with my running ability, my walking ability, my faith, and how, what can I achieve, right? And then, and as you go on, you learn these stuff and self-confidence, everything just comes together and your relationship with the Lord grows.
Everything can be done through Christ, right? Philippians 4.
Right, Philippians 4:16 or something, 21. And the idea is take the littlest steps, the smallest ones, makes the huge, like the biggest difference sometimes in your life. And all you have to do is really make that small shift.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think...
Go ahead. I wanted to just mention the food.
Yeah, mention that first.
Food mention gluttony. That. Like, I want to
yeah,
get to...
Yeah, mention that. So I was going to move on to the next one.
Because I think probably the easiest one to understand and grasp is food gluttony.
Did you guys eat today?
Everything else...
No.
Not me either.
Everything else is, I guess, a little bit deeper with gluttony, right? Like, you know, the selfishness and thinking about your desires and living in this...
Taking gluttony. Advantage of the abundance advantage. In your life.
Right. But then food, it's just, I think... The easiest ones that we see, and you know, the biggest problem we see with society, and you can't be naive to the systems and how they work, right? Joe was telling the example on what some of the what the restaurants would do, right? So you walk in, they give you all kinds of breads, butter, as like a starter, and when you walk into Mexican restaurants and stuff too, they give you chips first, yeah. So a lot of carbs, a lot of wheat, grains. So when you think about it, how carbs work and the glucose spike is, it doesn't really fill you up. At the moment, yeah, you will feel that sugar spike. You're going to get really hungry.
What must come up must come down.
Yeah, right. Dude, when you break your fast by just, you know, taking bread and eating bread, within a little bit, you will want to devour anything that's around you. And that's how restaurants do it. They bring you that, then they bring... the main dish, and then what comes after that is the whole, like, they know the mechanism of a human being that after their carbs,
bro, the system is the main strong.
Meal, right, the main meal that you eat, the amount of time it kind of takes for you to feel that spike of the glucose is after the main meal, you're gonna want to eat.
Yeah, they probably bring the food.
Your body craves something sweet.
Yeah, they probably bring the food in the exact time that they know when your body's gonna spike up or go down. You know what I mean? 'Cause like I feel like there's a time and like a period and a range in your body where things happen. Like for example, they say like when you eat at nighttime, it has to be at least 1 hour until your body starts to already get into this mindset of like going to rest. Because if you just eat and go to sleep, right, you won't be able to do that because your body first needs to. You know, start digesting or take all this energy. You're awake. Your body's...
I don't know, but I feel like if you eat a big meal and you want to sleep and you sleep, I feel like you will get a rest, no? Or at least
well,
you think depends.
You might think you are, yeah, but because all the blood went from your brain to your stomach.
Digestion, yeah.
Yeah, like
right,
nighttime, yeah. I don't think... Like,
dude, I know for sure. If I eat a big meal before bed, sleep. Like I don't get that good of sleep, even if I do sleep.
The next
I have
day
to sleep longer.
Up.
I have to sleep longer to compensate, right? You want to sleep longer. So... Yeah. I've been eating at nighttime before bed. That's just how my lifestyle has been. I don't get much. I don't get that good of sleep right now. Dude, I remember I was when I was working at the daycare. I was super consistent with my eating schedules. I would stop eating between like 6 and 7. Last meal, be in bed by 9. I would wake up like so
energized.
I feel so ready. Good in the morning. I felt when I wake up, I was like, wow, I feel refreshed.
You were like a fish.
Yeah, but then I could tell the difference when I. Eat like 1,000, 2,000 calories before bed. I'm just like, and then I wake up the next day. I'm just like, I still feel full from the night before.
Or if you eat a lot, like nighttime, the best thing people say to do is drink tea. It helps you. It helps your body digest faster.
Yeah.
So that way you get better sleep at night.
Warm water too. It's easier for your body to break down and relaxes you. There's a lot of stuff that go into like
honey on the,
you know, the tea itself, you know, the leaves and stuff. That your body takes it as a relaxation, not only because it's warm, but okay. And then pretty much the point I was trying to make is, especially as Christians, we can't be naive to these systems that are built within the world. Like, the world is there to tempt you. The world is there to
get you
one way or another, rip you off, whether that be money or your health, these type of stuff, because they benefit with all of it. You know, the worse your health is, the more medication they sell, right? The more addicted you are to food, the more food you're going to eat, the more they're going to sell. And this is why I say this,
because when you walk into a restaurant, the better it is for the system.
Yeah. When you walk into a restaurant and they put a bunch of bread in front of you with butter, that they use their resources to make those bread, and you're thinking to yourself, oh, they're being so nice to me. They care about me.
That's always
it's not a bad thing that you know, you are optimistic. However, there's a difference between being an optimistic and an enthusiast than being a naive person. That's naivety saying.
Or being realist, like realist.
But that's the thing. I'm underlining being naive.
Yeah.
And realistic too, sure. But, you know, they have a purpose on why they give you specific things before your meal. Like, for example, they bring drinks before your meal. Because guess what? When you walk somewhere, when you walk into a restaurant and you're hungry, and the first thing you get served is sugar, usually people order Coke or, you know, sodas, juice that have a lot of added sugars, just a lot of sugar in general. That's also your spiking up. And not only that, but you're going to order another drink because you're waiting for your food and you ran out of drink. You want something to fill your stomach up with. You're going to be drinking more and more before your meal comes. It's just like these timings, I feel like, are really designed.
And here's the thing, I don't think things like that is like
coincidence.
No, I don't think it's bad even, that type of stuff. But yeah. I think people being naive is the problem, like, or not having awareness. I would say it's not bad, because if we all went out to dinner, right?
Yeah.
And we go through, we eat what they take out to us, we get maybe some drinks, we eat our food, and we have a good time.
We eat the chips, the bread,
But we're aware, though. We're there like, okay, I know why they put the bread out in front of me.
Okay.
Might take a piece or something like that. Okay, I want to wait for my meal, right? This is like what we're here for, is to celebrate something or
I know I'm be gonna get
present
hungry.
In front of each other.
It's like, right, like I know if I eat this bread, their whole idea is that I order more food, but I'm going to be... mindful. I'm going to have the willpower and the mindful that I'm not going to overeat what I'm supposed to eat.
You know
what I mean?
Yeah. Definitely. Be like, oh my gosh, I want two breads. Like, no, like there's people at the table. You just eat one or don't even eat one at all. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's having that awareness and being mindful. It's like, okay, I know why they put this here.
Right.
So,
you know what's one thing that I'm kind of confused to sometimes when I see it is, the other day we were at the, farmer's market, and people go to a farm market and, you know, the food there is healthy. Obviously, the only thing this isn't coming from a judgmental mentality, but it has to do more with coping, is I expect like people who go to farmers market and stuff to be a little bit healthier than everybody else who goes to other supermarkets that sell a lot of seedos, right? Because usually the farmer markets don't sell products with either that same amount of seed oils or just no seed oils at all. You don't have to
high
buy fast, something.
High sugars. Yeah,
it's like not even just like seed oils, just like artificial stuff.
And artificial stuff too. But you'd be surprised when you walk in there, you would see the same body composition.
Like build.
Build.
Yeah.
That walk in there in the farmer's market. So, you know, it's like healthy food can only take you so far. It's your approach with the healthy food. You can overeat healthy food as much as you want.
It's hard to eat. It's hard to overeat
whole foods. Healthy food.
It is hard, but you can still do it.
Oh, 100%.
No activity, lay down, just eat a bunch of food that 100%. Comes from, you know, healthy source.
It's almost, it doesn't make you feel that way. Like, you know what I mean? When you eat the healthy food, it doesn't make you feel like sitting down on the couch and watching the TV. It puts you in a different state of mind. And like,
but only to an extent.
Yeah.
Because it's still calories. It's still...
still, you know, glucose, carbs, it's still glucose.
It's still that energy source that needs to be
I feel like your
used.
Mind just operates differently.
A little bit different.
When you eat healthy food.
But I don't think it makes a huge difference to the point where, you know, you're not going to
be. It changes your discipline. Yeah, sure.
Just test it out. Let's go buy some processed honey buns.
Do you want popcorn? Versus... I can make you popcorn after this.
Nah, I'm good on popcorn.
Yeah, me too. I don't want to break my fast with popcorn. I'm good.
You probably will.
I'll break my fast with pork.
I'll say, like, people can watch this and they can either, oh, like, what are these guys saying? Like, go test it out in your own life. Go test out these things. Like, you're eating whole foods for a week, then eating artificial stuff or eating whatever you want for a week. Whatever you want to do. Don't just, like, listen to us and be like, yeah, whatever they say is word. Like, no, just go try it out and go think for yourself. That's the whole goal.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, 100%.
And if you want,
not with everything, though.
What?
Not with everything, though.
I mean, yeah, like, you can think for yourself.
Like, they don't have to. Because, like, look, if you think about it, right? Let's just say I tell you with evidence. I'm providing evidence in front of your eyes without you actually testing it out. Person with a right mind will understand that I don't need to try it. I already know. You know what I mean? That's how I look at it. People, yeah, sure. There are some things people will still experience, but then there are some things that is evident.
Well, just because evidence, okay, let's just say, like,
if something's evident, you give me evidence that
Jesus Christ is real, I'm gonna go and try and read the Bible.
Yeah, I know, but we're not talking about
myself.
It doesn't apply to everything. That's the whole point.
Yeah, but we're not talking about reading something versus like me telling you some information. Yeah, of course, you're gonna go ahead and read it. Like, whatever we're talking about, and probably somebody's right now sitting down
researching all this stuff. If it works.
No, they're searching this stuff. Like, we're saying when you're eating sugars, you get hungry. They're gonna search it up. Guess what it's going to tell them? Yes, it's true, right? Information like that. But if I'm telling you physically I experienced this, you don't have to go on and really do it to know what it did to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it depends on what you're talking about, if you're talking about your experience.
Yeah, I'm not talking about, like, just information. Just take it on the face value and just be like, okay, what this guy says, he's right just because he says it. No, but I'm also providing strong evidence that backs this up.
Yeah, we're not just talking out of our ass.
Yeah. We don't have to.
And I think it also depends what we talk about, because if we're mentioning things like drugs, personally, me, bro, I would never tell anybody to go try a drug to see how it makes you feel.
Exactly.
Never.
You don't say that.
Drugs are deadly.
You can kill them.
Yeah, drugs are just life-changing. However, when it comes to food, though, I would definitely, if somebody out there, because there's a bunch of people like that, we've seen them on our comment section, in person, that are arrogant enough to say that, yeah, just because you say it doesn't make it true. Just because you eat this way, that doesn't mean that it's good. So I think those people should definitely give those meals a try and really understand the differences. And they would not want to go. They're not going to want to go back.
That person is not defining eating healthy as good. Then I feel sorry for them.
Nope.
They don't have a good understanding or foundation on what is good.
Yeah, dude, you can do a lot of things. You can tell people you can tell good things to people, they'll take it bad, and you tell them bad things and they'll take it in a good way. How am I supposed to help you? I really feel sorry for you. And you know, if that hurts you, bro, wait till you understand what is actually hurtful when you're 80 years old. You can't do anything because you just lived this life wrong.
Yeah.
Basically, making bad decisions.
You were a glutton.
Simple as food.
You were a glutton.
You understand.
Yeah, bro. Open-mindedness is a great thing, because we have a friend who, dude, to be honest, very often he gets sick, whether he catches a cold or a sore throat, whatever. And to be honest, personally, me, I know that I used to get more sick when my diet wasn't healthy and my lifestyle wasn't healthy. And we weren't paying attention to the organic food that we would
eat. People get sick?
Wait.
Right.
That's not
like, if it's virus, we get sick. Like I get sick during the winter more. But during the summer, bro, I don't know when was the last time I got sick during the summer. Like, in my opinion, if you get sick during summer, something's wrong.
But I think feeling that first initial sickness where it's like, oh, I feel like something's coming on. I think it's how fast your body responds to that, how fast you get better.
That's better. Because let's just say summertime, it's raining and you're wet, like your shirt's wet. Right. And then it's also windy because it can happen, right? Now, if you go home and you get sick, it's not because your diet is bad. It's how your body can react. If your body's not able to fight, like, as small as, like, sore throat and flu that you got yesterday, and you were sick for a whole week, and then slowly your body starts to feel worse and worse and worse, yeah, bro, there's something wrong with your body.
That's what I'm saying. One day, you feel sick, nothing's wrong with that. But I feel like if it's a repetitive thing that it happens often,
then it's bad.
With the small things, something's wrong, and just try something new. And especially when you get offered something. So I tell my friend, I go, could be your stomach health. It could just be your immune system. Try to strengthen your immune system by taking things that are like healthy microbiomes.
Raw milk.
Kefir. Like drink this stuff that has healthy
bacteria,
exactly. And nutrients that you need to strengthen your immune system.
Yo, can you search
and
up?
He goes, bro, I'm not drinking raw milk. I go, okay, then be sick. It's like, okay, when something's not working out, and it's, you know, you see there's something wrong, try something to prevent it. If you don't try something to prevent it, that means you don't even think that it's bad that you're getting sick often.
Nope.
I don't think it's okay.
It's the same thing with training. Like, if you're not recovering from your training, you're not getting stronger, something's wrong. It could be your sleep, your diet, your stress.
Yeah, and try something. Okay, raw milk might not work out because it could be a genetic thing. Some people genetically have weak immune system.
That means you need to strengthen your immune system.
They have to supplement in a different way. They might have to take supplements, right? You know, there's actually a lot of tests that you can take that will genetically tell you what you're deficient in.
Yeah.
Therefore, you need to supplement yourself with something more. And these stuff are actually, I would say, like very advanced.
A few supplements, not a lot.
Yeah, a few. And things that are like two. Most of them that are trusted. But the idea is, you know, you have to be open-minded enough that when somebody tells you, especially when they seem like they're the people who, and ask them the questions. How often do you get sick? Is your gut health good? How is your metabolism? Like look at their lifestyle and judge their message and their advice based on who they are and what they do.
And who's telling you this message?
Because anybody can say, go drink raw milk. But I'll be honest, if a person is telling me, drink raw milk and you're not going to get sick, and that person gets sick all the time, I'll be honest, I'll question why they're suggesting me something that will heal my sickness when they can't heal their own sickness in that direction, right?
Yep.
So it's like,
know who you're trusting.
Yeah, you know what bothers me? There's nutritionists online who talk about who are for seed oils, who are for like all the propaganda that you see, and they look sick. Their skin doesn't look healthy. They look, what's it called? They look watery. They look watery, fluffy. They look fluffy.
Their body.
It's just like, no, I'm not going to listen to you, buddy. Like, what? Like, yeah. No, I'm not going to listen to you if you look like that, right? If you follow such a good diet, you know what you're talking about, then how come you don't look that good?
Yeah.
Right? Like, I think proof is in the pudding.
Exactly. And when you think about it, people who eat healthy diet and train hard, when you look at their muscular structure, they're very dense. You know, when you don't have to touch the muscle to see that they're dense in muscle? Yeah. Like, look, Anthony used to tell me this too in the gym. He's always bigger than me, but when me and him flex next to each other, he goes, your muscle is more dense than mine.
Yeah.
But he's way bigger than me. He's way stronger than me too in lifts. He says your muscle is more dense. Now, this is
with the athletes, like soccer players, like they're very dense.
Yeah, exactly.
They're very strong, just not
the muscle
size,
endurance,
but not by
exactly.
size.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because the training part, I also tell them this, it's not only because of diet, but a lot of it has to do with if I've been training since I was 7, probably the youngest you can be to start somewhat weight training, which isn't really recommended, but you can take like what,
body
pounds,
weight stuff.
10, 15,
or yeah.
15 pounds or something.
15 is, I think, already the age where you can start lifting heavy.
Yeah, lifting heavy, right. But you can still use like 10, 15 pound dumbbells on some certain exercise, like dynamic workouts when you're at that age. And I go, if I've been training that long and I have, let's say, 5, 6 years over you, that is, I can't do the math on the days, but 5, 6 years over you on me putting my body and my muscles under the stress to grow that muscle. So obviously, I'm going to be more dense. So like, don't discourage yourself because of that, but understand your diet and your training has a lot to do with the density of your muscle. No?
Can you search up some of the things that can increase your immune system? I actually want to know. And I guess for the
probably
viewers,
the most basic stuff, right?
Bro, like
eating healthy, training, sleeping, get away from blue light.
You need to artificially, so to speak, make your immune system fight something. Meaning, when you drink raw milk, kefir, I'm telling you, when I drink kefir on my tongue, I feel the burn. And that's good.
Burn.
That means there are some microbiomes there and good bacteria within that go in your body. There's a word, but I forgot what that is exactly about that specific thing. That goes down your body. There's something that your body recognizes that is not, you know,
it's like he's the enemy at the day.
Extracted out of everything that is fighting your immune system to make it stronger.
It's like,
but
it's,
it has that healthy amount enough to make it stronger.
It's like, that's, it's easy for your body when you take those healthy foods and healthy drinks. It's easier for your body to then detect the bad ones because then the bad ones mix up with when you're taking everything like unhealthy stuff. Then all the bad and the good stuff, they all mix up and your body almost doesn't know which one to get rid of. When you take the good one, it goes like, oh, it's like, it's pointing, it's like your body's almost like pointing out the bad ones and just automatically gets.
Or I would say your body's so soft that when something like little bacteria enters in, they're all so weak that they can't even combat the small bacteria.
Yeah, you know true. I
mean? So it's like iron sharpens iron. If you're, if you don't have another iron to sharpen that knife, or you don't even have a sharpener to make the knife sharp again, that's dull. Obviously, you're just going to be left with a dull knife. So you have to use something, a resource, to make it stronger. What does it say? Fast, right?
Eat a healthy food, sleep, stay active, manage stress, avoid immune suppressors. So no smoking,
how about
no alcohol.
This? Search up what are things that you can eat to build your immune system, or drinks.
But sources like from vitamin C, so it's like citrus fruits, vitamin D, so fatty fish, eggs, probiotics, like he said, yogurt, kefir, sauerkraut, antioxidants, berries, greens, tea. It's like stuff that just antioxidants, just like that stuff.
Clear
like
your
lots
body.
Of nutrients.
Oh, yeah.
Nutrients.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Nourish
a
your
healthy
body.
Gut microbiome supports immune response by regulating inflammation and fighting pathogens.
Sleep is
crucial. Yeah.
The most important. If you have everything else but you don't have sleep, I'm very convinced that you have nothing.
Yeah.
I would say the biggest starting point on, you know, becoming healthy is paying attention to quality sleep. Not the sleep hours, the quality sleep, which I'll be honest, I personally will talk about myself and need to hold myself more accountable.
Me too, bro.
Me too. I go to bed earlier. Earlier.
And eat earlier. So I give my body enough time to digest before.
So we gotta lock in, boys, and we gotta start going to sleep.
We're gonna be 5 a.m. guys. 5 to 8 a.m. guys.
Yeah, we promise. We
gotta go to sleep at 8 p.m.
So I feel like with this episode, we could touch up on some more of these like in another episode or something like that. There's still greed, slothfulness, pride, and envy. I think those are good ones too that we could talk about.
Yeah,
if you guys want a part two, let us know. Talk about us in the future. Exactly. But we'll do Christian culture.
Do it.
That's it.
What should I do, bro?
Okay, guys.
Interpretation?
Yeah. Well, it's not up for me to interpret.
It depends. What does the Bible say?
You've
and then we say, do
you have YouTube Studio?
What is it?
Do you have YouTube Studio?
I don't know. Do I?
Did your iPad
probably.
Die?
Yeah, right. Did my iPad die?
I have YouTube Studio.
Hold yourself accountable next time so your iPad doesn't die, right?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
It's downloading. But
what does forgiveness mean to you, and what does reconciliation look like? Building trust again. Parentheses. So I'm just going to
read it again.
Yeah. What does forgiveness mean to you, and what does reconciliation look like? Building trust again.
Okay.
You want to go first?
No.
Do you understand the question?
Let me read it.
Okay.
George, you go.
So forgiveness. I need to read it. Forgiveness is. The example of true forgiveness comes from the only example, and the perfect and the best one is Jesus Christ coming into the earth to forgive the sins of somebody that doesn't deserve it. Like, we've sinned so many and we've done so many sinful things that how can we ever get to a perfect place like heaven? Yet there was somebody that came into this earth with a perfect plan to save all of us and to bring us to that eternal goodness of God's presence. And when we hear that message that we live for 100 years, and that's so many days of us living every single day in sin, no matter how much we want to not sin, we still fall into, whether that be in our eyes, but the big sin or bad sin, it's still a sin, and it breaks God's heart, and it's every single sin that hurts him, that you know, all that hurt that he went through is us partaking in that. And when we understand that much forgiveness and that much grace, I think it only makes sense that we have a good heart to then show other people that same forgiveness and that trust again, that, you know, just because somebody messed up once that doesn't mean that they can't change. We got to give them that grace and that love and that forgiveness and that time to change. But I think it's important we do it responsibly, that, you know, when somebody breaks the trust, you make sure that you don't just forgive them and say, okay, I forgive you, now do it again and I'll forgive you again. But you give them the example that what they did was pretty bad and what they did wasn't right, and help them understand that slowly in the process, that when you forgive somebody, it takes them to realize what they've done and turn away from that. So if I lie to you once and I say, sorry, I won't do it again, and I lie to you again, that means I don't really understand that what I did was wrong to you. And that's the same example with Jesus Christ, is when he forgives us and we say, oh, I'm going to sin again. That's just us not understanding his forgiveness. Therefore, I don't think we can truly forgive other people. That's how I see it. The reconciliation.
Here, but. Oh. Oh, no, I have it open to this thing. You're good. Here, I'll say my answer while you read it. So,
I have to go first.
No, in some way, shape, or form, I feel like we're all connected in one way or another, like through God, right? Like we're all God's children. So to be able to forgive is like being able to forgive a part of you, forgiving someone else.
Yeah.
Like if you don't forgive your friend, it's almost like there's a part of you like missing, because we're part of the greater whole.
Yeah.
God created us all together. Like what strengthens us is our numbers, and we come together and we relate to each other. We're sympathetic, right. We're empathetic. Yeah. And so to have like wrath or anger towards someone is like almost to have it directed towards yourself in a sense.
Yeah.
It's almost like you're doing it to yourself. So to not forgive someone is like, it's like to not forgive yourself, not to forgive God or anything like that, because we're all connected in one way, shape, or form.
I don't know if God would need our forgiveness.
Yeah, you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, right? I do. Yeah.
The way I'm seeing it is, I think true forgiveness is, one, actually understanding that you did something wrong, right? So in a sense, like, in order for God to forgive us, I'm going to put it in a very deep way, right? In order for God to forgive us, he has to be just, right? So God does forgive us, but then we can't keep on going to sin, because then, that means the forgiveness that, or when he forgave us, took that as granted, and now we turned back and like slapped him in the face again, and now we're like just not respecting the fact that he respects you when you don't deserve it.
Yeah.
So same thing with humans. Like, let me just kind of what you said, right? Yeah. Obviously, what Jesus did was the true forgiveness. Now, from our perspective of how we can
play that,
help each other out, and how we can like kind of play that in our lives to forgive someone is, look, if I see someone truly repenting what they did was wrong, for example, they did something to me and then they said sorry and I forgave them. That's what we're supposed to do.
Right.
Even if we can't, we're supposed to. Like, we have to somehow try
forgive
to...
Forgive 7 times 77.
Yeah, exactly. But look, if I see that person keep on doing the same thing and taking that advantage that I'm forgiving them and it makes them feel good and they're just going to keep on saying, like, forgive me and I will forgive you, and you're taking that as a, I guess, as a source of, like, as a source of, like, someone's naiveness, right?
Okay. Naivety?
Yeah.
Or innocence.
Yeah, or, like, innocence, right? You're not asking for forgiveness. What you're asking is for yourself to be righteous, in a sense, right? Now it's like, look, at least I said sorry, though. But that's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is you truly understanding that you're asking for something that you did. Not what...
Yeah.
Not like taking it as, like, I'm sorry. And it's like, yeah, it's a sorry. Like, at least I said this sorry. But true forgiveness needs true repentance.
It only comes from the heart.
True forgiveness needs true repentance. And I have a... And that's how it is. Like, you can't ask God for forgiveness if you don't truly let's go on. Repent.
Yeah. And love your neighbor as God has loved you.
Right, yeah.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Quote of the day.
Mike, you wanna do quote of the day?
I'm doing a shout out.
You do quote of the day. I did quote of the day.
Did you?
Yeah.
All right.
But by no means, I can go if you don't want to.
Go.
I do. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Ooh. And you purify your hearts, you double-minded.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Wow, James.
That's strong, yo.
James 4:8.
Yeah, we haven't gotten to that part yet.
This is literally just straight up telling someone
their
nature. And I don't think anybody should be hurt by this because I'm a sinner. I am a double-minded. And I'm a and I need to purify my heart. I'll say that.
Tell me about it.
So when James tells me that, it's good. I need to be reminded that I'm a sinner.
All double-minded.
And I'm a double-minded.
What about you,
James? And I need to purify my heart.
Thank you, James, for that reminder.
Cliff brings a very good example. If you steal a dollar from me, sir, and I say I forgive you, I'm taking the hit and I'm letting you go. So you should have the understanding that when you forgive somebody, you're taking the hit. So it's an acknowledgement that somebody forgave you something that they didn't, you know, say, okay, now you have to, you know, give me a dollar for me to truly forgive you, because that would just be you're asking for something in return, but in reality, you're giving it for free.
Yeah, forgiveness doesn't have price. It's out of love. And unless you have love towards someone, you can't forgive them. I truly believe that. If God didn't have love for us, he wouldn't be able to do it. But that's the thing. He's love. So.
Yo.
Amen.
Glory to Jesus.
Hey,
shout out.
Shout out, yeah.
Elio Va. Thank you for the comment.
All right. Wait, okay,
ready? Elio Va. Eli Alva.
Somebody from like Middle Eastern country looks like. Thank you for that.
He said Jesus is God.
Amen.
He founded a single eternal church, which is the church is the people, the body of Christ, right? He appointed Peter as its leader and promised that this church would never fail. Did he say that?
Oh yeah, of course.
What did he say?
Yeah. He said that no evil will prevail against my church. So he was talking about the apostles that built that church, and I guess almost like put all these teachings inside that church. Then he went through the generations.
Okay. He gave it authority, unity, and protection from error. Protection from error. That church is the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. No other denomination fulfills Christ's promises. None. In fact, if the Catholic Church were false or did not exist, then it would mean Jesus lied and God failed. He did not.
I think that's a big misunderstanding. I don't want to elaborate on that because I can talk for hours and hours on this understanding.
We should have called reply to that.
Biblical understanding on this whole thing. Not just Catholicism, but when you talk about churches nowadays and, you know, walking to a church and just saying, okay, because this is an Orthodox church, or because this is a Protestant church, or because this is a good church, and because it preaches the gospel, this must be the only church and the only denomination.
Which was easy.
Which I do believe that orthodoxy, I don't mean every Orthodox church, because there are churches, even with Georgia, that the priests are such hypocrites and bad priests, not of God, you know, judging based on their fruits.
But the denomination itself is orthodoxy, right?
The orthodoxy itself, which was the original church that was builded from the teachings of Paul on how the church was to be run, I do believe that truly to be
the church that Jesus Christ
was referring to. But that still has, in my opinion, have gone in a direction where human nature has perverted it, unfortunately.
Yeah, orthodoxy.
Everything that human hand touches.
But look, I think this, if eventually. This guy means Catholic as, because look, Catholic in a Christian, in the definition of like the Christianity means universal or worldwide.
Yeah.
So that's why it's like Orthodox, or they say in the prayer something that alongside with mentioning the word Catholic. Like the guy said, apostle. What did he say?
The church is the one holy Catholic and apostolic church.
Yeah, so that itself is like basically meaning the universal and worldwide. But if he's talking about the denomination itself, what Catholics believe, so that came from the Roman Catholics versus Orthodoxy, I'm sorry to tell you, but you are wrong. Orthodoxy is the true denomination, if you ask me, not Catholics.
In that
understanding of what they believe, right? Because that obviously the reason why they even in the first place divided the churches, and then, you know, now they're Catholics, is because they have a different view on certain things. So that means they divided from the body the body of Christ, meaning the church that was built on, what's it called? He's, you know, like his teachings
yeah.
and the basis of Christ.
Yeah, the only apostolic church. I would just guess that would be what apostles taught the church should be like. And I'll be honest, very, very few are really like that. Very few, in my opinion. But we do agree part of what you're saying. I think this comment just needs a little bit elaboration because we can't really understand your viewpoints or what you think based on this one comment. But yeah, if you do want to be on our podcast, let us know. Episode. Thank you again. Thank you for your support, guys. Everybody who is watching, liking, subscribing, whatever it may be.
Yep.
Just the fact that you are engaged with us in this conversation, we really do appreciate it. And I hope to hear from you guys more. And until next time,
think big, grow big.
Peace. Ooh.